Welcome to the Rewire Podcast. This is episode number 37, and it's been a while since I've done a podcast. I'm back to start over again with some podcasts, but I'm going to change the format a little bit. I'm going to keep them short and sweet. There are so many podcasts out there, really, really great podcasts, and some of those podcasts are well into the two-hour mark in terms of time, so I'm going to try to stay in my own lane and really just kind of focus on helping people reduce stress and upgrade their health and happiness through breathwork and mindfulness meditation. And so that's really where my focus is and where I've been able to help a lot of people recently, especially during COVID. 2020's been a crazy year. And the interesting thing about 2020, though, it's really given us 2020 clarity in terms of where we are without all the distractions in the world. We've had to sort of step back and really sort of look at where we are without all the distractions and hopping on the next plane or off to the next party or buying the next thing. It's just really slowed things down. And I know that's been very difficult for people. A lot of people are wishing the year was over. I'm really encouraging people to stop and really change your perspective on that and to look inside and use this time as an opportunity to really develop inside and where all the power and the peace and the clarity we need is. And I want to share a little bit about my story today, and I'm going to talk about a few different things that we can do to actually practice mindfulness. But the story, I think, is important because my story started very much in an externally driven world. And I'm just going to go back to my childhood a little bit first. And I haven't shared the story very much, only recently. And not yet, I would say, that eloquently able to sort of explain it, because it's kind of a new thing for me. And there's also still a lot of emotion around that. But through my own practice and through my own work and all the time I've done developing and working with people on my mindset and inner child meditations and plant medicine retreats and hours and hours and hours of practice, I've been able to heal and sort of reconcile some of these things. But it's really fascinating now for me to look back and sort of monitor my journey. And everybody has a story. So a little bit about mine. You know, we all start our lives with as a perfect little being. You know, we never feel we're not good enough. We never feel we can do anything. Our imaginations are boundless and we're curious, and it's such an amazing place to be. But somewhere along the way, for a lot of us, something changes where we start to become shaped by our environment and our belief systems become limited. Something might happen to you. You might get hurt. You may be abused. And you start to shut down. You start to close off certain aspects of the light that we have inside of us. And, you know, for me, I think it was about, you know, somewhere around 7 years old to the 10-year-old range where I started to feel like nobody was paying attention to me. And I also want to preface by saying I love my parents very much. I know they did the best they could for me at that time. And, we're not talking crazy abuse, but I'm able to now map out what it was that sort of stuck with me as an adult and really limited my ability to evolve and to grow. So for me, around that 7 to 10 year old range, I just kind of felt like I was alone. I felt like nobody was paying attention. And oftentimes I just kind of spent a lot of time on my own. And there was also a lot of spankings in those days as well. So I was dealing with that as well. And I think that kind of shut me down a little bit and took a little bit of my confidence away. And then as I got a little bit older, suddenly around grade 6, I realized that I stopped kind of growing. I just really started to slow down and all the other kids were getting bigger. Puberty was nowhere in sight for me. In grade 9, I was 13 years old. I was less than 100 pounds and I was about 5 feet tall. So based on that, it was very difficult in high school. I wasn't necessarily hanging out with the cool kids or picked for the right sports teams. And this sort of kind of further perpetuated my insecurity. And so I started, you know, repress my emotions and was, you know, kind of stunted at that point. And I think a lot of kids deal with that in high school. That's not really anything new, but particularly for me, that led me to start to work on what I could control. And then I started to lift weights into my later teens. And around 19 years old or so, 18, 19 years old, I pretty much gained 100 pounds in maybe about a year and a half. So puberty hit, weight training, and next thing you know, I was feeling like I was something again. I was bigger, I was stronger, but I was also angry. And I really didn't know how to deal with that anger other than spurts of violence or just being aggressive, I guess. And, you know, I was bouncing in various bars and getting in fights. But that was kind of a badge of honor where I grew up. I was always fairly driven despite all this. So I did work really hard. Moved to the big city, got a corporate job in telecom, where I worked in telecom for 12 years and later left corporate as an entrepreneur once I had replaced my salary. And some of this monetary success really kind of further built my outside shell, let's say. I didn't do any work on the inside. It was always about the outside, how I looked, what I wore, what I did, spending money, and partying. It was a lot of partying going on. The more money, the more freedom to party. And really, it kind of created this unhealthy cycle of partying, working, and really kind of one step forward, one step back. This went on pretty much throughout my 30s. So partway through my 30s, let's say about 35 years old, I did start to feel a pull of wanting to do more, to sort of look inside more, because I was feeling empty. The partying was just sort of helping me feel good for a moment, but then I would go right back into that dip. I would feel really anxious and depressed at the beginning of every week. And it was just kind of a cycle that went on for quite some time. I started to discover meditation about 35 years old, but I would practice a little bit and then I would just go back to partying again or doing something that was not really helping my personal development. So I did consume as much personal development material as I could. I did meditate. I did a lot of things, but it was sort of the light and the dark, the light and the dark. When I turned 40 years old, I had basically 1 month before my birthday, the most beautiful gift ever. Well, that was the birth of my daughter. And she was a miracle baby to begin with. My wife and I went through a long period of infertility to get to that point. And 2-3 months after she was born, I grabbed a bottle of what I thought was water one time while partying and turned out to be GHB, which is a heavy sedative. And I basically did an extreme overdose and ended up in ICU. And I was on life support for 3 days. And that really changed everything for me. That was sort of a stake in the ground. And I've always kept a gratitude journal. And basically my gratitude journal entry after I returned home alive was to see my wife and baby again. I was grateful to be alive. I was grateful for the doctors and paramedics that saved me. I was grateful for the second chance. I was grateful for all my supportive friends. And it was time to no longer be selfish. It was time to start to take responsibility for my actions. So that was almost 8 years ago now. And in hindsight, I'm very grateful for that. It was an opportunity for me to reset and to restart and to really start to go deep. Since then, I've been blessed with a son as well, and it's just further reinforced my purpose as a father, as a husband, as a friend, as a citizen of Earth to do something more than just be selfish and just work on that external pleasure center, and which really comes down to the external validation I needed. I never felt good enough, and it was time to go inside and time to heal. So how did I overcome that? Well, basically, I really had to establish what my why was. And my why really came down to my family and the fact that I want my time on this planet to count. And I wanted to do that work. I then had to protect time daily to practice and to start to create healthier discipline and rituals. Now, believe me, I must say that it didn't happen overnight. It still, the partying lingered a little bit. And, you know, to this day, I still enjoy a drink or smoke a joint, but a lot of things have changed. I adapted a growth mindset. Basically, that's the belief that I could change with focused effort and better habits. And very importantly, I started to be part of a community, a mindfulness community. I found mentors. I engaged with the Mindfulness Center in Oakville, Ontario, under Dr. Stéphane Gervais, basically right after that incident, 1 year after that incident. And every year I've been part of his mastermind since. And I really embody the lifestyle and do that inner work and practice every single day. And you know, the thing is, when you have this awareness that you need to change, nothing will change unless you take action. You must take action to deal with your stress and try to improve your health and happiness. So I kind of came across these three pillars I'm about to describe to you now, which are really what my, let's say, 12 years of practice boil down to. And that is, one, to establish a morning routine, to protect time and to invest in yourself daily. That's huge, because without that morning routine, it's so easy to put off things that we need to do for ourselves as the day goes on. We always feel like we gotta do something else, we gotta move, and it's really hard to fight that. But by going deep every single morning, by really clarifying your purpose and your goals and understanding what the benefits of this practice is, you can start to overcome the internal and external objections and distractions that come with this. And, you know, essentially the 20-20-20 rule in Robin Sharma's book, The 5 a.m. Club, is very, very similar to what I do. 20 minutes of body movement, 20 minutes of meditation, although I do about 40, and some journaling and a lot of gratitude journal. Gratitude is huge. I know it's a very common buzz term these days, but when you're grateful, you can't be angry, you can't be fearful. And by creating this morning routine, you put your armor of resilience on for the day ahead. And it's a very powerful practice that helps you deal much more eloquently with life's challenges. Instead of being reactive, we can be responsive with skill. The second part that's very important is basically learning how to rewire your mindset with techniques and regular practice. Even if you feel like you've been stuck in the same pattern for years, that may no longer serve you. And that's basically because of neuroplasticity. We are able to rewire our mindset and change the way we think about things through meditation practice and breathwork practice. So as I mentioned, having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset is huge. Practicing meditation, dynamic mindfulness meditation, is my meditation of choice. It's very, very important to be precise with your meditation. So whatever practice you choose for yourself, it is very important to find a mentor, find someone who to teach you how to do it properly, and to really ensure that you are not wasting your time, because I wasted my time trying all kinds of different practices that never worked. So dynamic mindfulness is one that works for me. It's very, very popular for stress reduction. And breathwork techniques. So under this category, breathwork is huge. So Tummo breathing, box breathing, understanding the difference between nose breathing and mouth breathing. This has been such a game changer for so many people I work with who are unable to calm down their monkey minds long enough to sit for 2 minutes. I've had so many people said, I've tried meditation, but it doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because you were unable to bring your mind down, or you just get caught up in thinking and planning and ruminating. So breathwork is a wonderful way to sort of push through that, but it also has a whole bunch of physical effects that are tremendous to health. And cold exposure is something that I'm fairly new to, and I found it to be absolutely powerful. It's kind of all about just training your mind to be stronger than your body. And that's what cold exposure really does. It's about being comfortable with being uncomfortable. You'd be surprised how quickly your body will adapt, even if your mind tries to resist the entire way. And really, the third pillar is knowing that the real meditation is how we live our life. It's not really just about the formal practice. You know, we always can think about meditation, about sitting in a mountain, maybe some dude with a beard up there for months at a time. Well, that's sure, that's powerful. But this is the real world for a lot of us. We've got families, we have businesses, we have jobs, we have kids, we have friends, we have responsibilities, and we can't be sitting to practice all the time. But in every moment of every day, there is an opportunity to regulate our thoughts and emotions to really unlock our greatest potential. And that really comes down to informal practice techniques. So stopping during the day. In mindfulness, we have something called the split second wake-up call, where we stop and say, hey man, where was I? What am I doing? Because we're on autopilot a lot of the time. I mean, everybody can relate to the story of driving somewhere where you arrive an hour later and you don't really remember getting there. Well, that's autopilot, and that's how we often live our life. So having that present moment awareness where you can just stop and be grateful and express kindness and be positive, essentially, and really check in where you are and congratulate yourself for noticing. That's huge, too. We don't give ourselves enough grace, and that's important. And of course, the other foundation outside of breathwork and mindfulness is body movement. Exercise is huge. Most people exercise to some regard and really understand the benefits of that. Spending time in nature, huge, so good for the soul to just take your shoes off, get outside, really breathe in the air, slow down, leave your tech at home, and just kind of take it all in. And of course, our sleep is something that is absolutely huge. And I would say sleep is probably number one on the list. If you're not sleeping well, then you're probably not living an optimal life, and you probably are actually taking years off your life. So really getting on top of your sleep is huge. So that's just like a high level summary of three sort of main areas and all the sort of sub areas that I've kind of boiled down all of my practice to. And I've built a program around that to help people sort of deal with that and really get them information that they need, rather than trying to sift through a bunch of techniques that may not work. You know, there's that Eckhart Tolle comment, awareness is the greatest agent for change. And I've loved that comment, but sorry, that quote. But the point is that awareness is wonderful to have, but unless you actually take action, nothing's going to change. You really just need to take that first step. So if anything, if this podcast has inspired you to maybe just shift your perspective a little, to try a meditation challenge, there's all kinds of stuff out there available. Reach out to me. I'll be happy to help you. But I think that 2020 has provided us an opportunity for greater clarity and awareness for change. You know, you can look at 2020 and say, man, I really wish this turd would go away and I can't wait to be over. And I read memes like this on social media every day. But really just looking at this as an opportunity to sort of go inside, do the inner work, right? You know, I've spent most of my life doing the outer work, and fortunately, like the last 10 years doing the inner work, and the inner work is where the peace is and where the real joy comes from in life. And life is just going to keep throwing us curveballs. This isn't the beginning or the end of challenges ahead. And as we age, more challenges will come with our health. So being in that beautiful place of mind gives us freedom, and to be, as one of my teachers said, free and easy in the marketplace. Regardless of what's going on, we don't have to associate our emotions with that. We can actually take a step back and disassociate our emotions and just be happier and more peaceful. I think I said happy and peaceful a lot today. So anyway, I'm going to cut it off there. I hope everybody has a beautiful day, and thank you for listening. All the best.